This is the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. And so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed two days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of a day? And those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." And after saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem and some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher's here, and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And when Jesus came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for you for having heard me. And I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, when they had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take that as my text this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1066. Page 1066, John's Gospel, chapter 11, and beginning at verse 1. This morning I want to talk about Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. Indeed, Jesus doesn't merely say, as a prophet might, that there will be a resurrection and that the dead shall live again and rise on the last day. Rather, and very much more than that, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he says that those who believe in me, no prophet would ever say that. Whoever believes in me are those who, if they should die, will rise again, over whom death shall have no ultimate power. And this is what the rising and the raising, I should say, of Lazarus from the dead is really all about. It signifies, it points to the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so even as John says over and over in his gospel, the miracles of Jesus are not merely miracles. Rather, the miracles of Jesus are signs that point to something even greater than the miracles themselves. And if we have eyes to see, we will see what those signs signify. And if we don't, we won't. And so we come to our text, and John says that a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 2, "And it was Mary," John says, "who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair." In fact, that's covered in the 12th chapter of this same Gospel of John, "whose brother Lazarus was, and he was ill." And so this is a story about Jesus' friends. This is a story about Mary and Martha and Lazarus of Bethany. Verse 3, "And so the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love, Lazarus, is ill.'" Verse 4, "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. This illness is for the glory of God.'" Have you ever thought about that? This illness is for the glory of God. "This illness is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God," that is Jesus, "may be glorified through it." And John says, verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister," that's Mary, "and Lazarus. And so when Jesus heard," verse 6, "that Lazarus was ill," notice he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was, which is very interesting. Jesus didn't run to the rescue. Verse 6, "And so when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." I mean, the place where he was, if you read the 10th chapter of John, you know that that's the Transjordan. He was having trouble in Jerusalem, which is where Judea is, and Bethany's just 2 miles to the east of Jerusalem in Judea. And so they were after Jesus, and so he said, maybe it's time to get out of town. So they left, and they crossed the Jordan and went into the Transjordan. In particular, John says in the 10th chapter, in that place where John the Baptist had been doing his baptizing. And so in verse 6, John says that Jesus and with the disciples stayed there even after he heard that Lazarus was ill. Verse 7, and then after this, Jesus said to the disciples, all right, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said, verse 8, in fact, in the New Living Translation, and this is actually what's happening, is translated, and the disciples objected. Indeed, notice verse 8, and the disciples objected, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, as is recorded in John 10, and are we now going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day, 12 hours of daylight? And if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. It's a bit of a curious statement, and this Jesus mixes the literal with the physical, with the spiritual and the metaphorical. The long and short of it is that Jesus' response to the disciples' objection, danger or no danger, is that we're off to Judea and to Bethany to engage the Lazarus situation. And so John continues in verse 11, and after saying these things, Jesus said to the disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Verse 12, and the disciples said to him, well, Lord, if Lazarus has fallen asleep, he'll recover. But John continues in verse 13, and now Jesus had spoken of Lazarus' death, but the disciples thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, and then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. He has died. Verse 15, and for your sakes, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Verse 16, and so Thomas, you remember Thomas, and what word is usually associated with Thomas? Doubt. Doubting Thomas. But we see a very different Thomas here. So Thomas called the twin, in fact, in Aramaic, from which the name Thomas comes, it means twin, and Didymus in the Greek means twin. I guess maybe he had a twin brother or... So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him, that we may die with Jesus. And so the doubter expressing courage. Verse 17, John continues. And so when Jesus came and found that Lazarus had he found that Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. So is there any question, is this a raising of the dead? He is most certainly dead. Verse 18. And John says, and Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And so many of the Jews, and by the way, they're all Jews. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Verse 20, and when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, somebody must have said, you know, Jesus is coming. She went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Verse 21, and Martha said to Jesus, she got to him before he got into the village. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have died. As you read this on, I think this is probably what they were, everybody was saying this. If Jesus had been here, this wouldn't have happened. If Jesus had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And so here comes Jesus, and what's the first thing that Martha says to her? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Verse 23, and Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Or as we have it in the New Living Translation, I know that he'll rise with everyone else on the last day. Or as Peterson puts it in the Message, I know he'll be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. And of course, this is a reference to the general resurrection, which the Jews in Jesus' day were expecting at the end of the age and the dawning of the new age, that everyone would be resurrected. Which was also something that Jesus himself taught. In fact, in this same Gospel of John in chapter 5, we have reference to that. And Jesus tells us, beginning at verse 28, and an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs, all who are in the tombs, will come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. And this is what Martha is referring to. The concept of individual resurrection, they don't have a template for that. In fact, you remember as Jesus is telling them over and over, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, and the third day I'll rise from the dead. And they didn't know what that last bit meant. And so when he did rise and they did see him, or even before they saw him, they got reports that others were seeing. They didn't know what to do with that, because all they knew was the general resurrection at the end of the age, when all would be raised, and some to a resurrection of life and others to a resurrection of judgment. And so Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Or as Peterson puts it in the Message, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now the resurrection and the life. Indeed, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, just as he is the light of the world. Or just as he is the way, the truth, and the life. Indeed, and this is the point. Jesus doesn't just point to the light, he is the light. He doesn't just proclaim the truth, he embodies the truth. Jesus doesn't just raise the dead, he is the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, and many of us have, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says to Martha, do you believe this? And Martha said to him, verse 27, yes, Lord. As much as I can wrap my head around it. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Mashiach, the Son of God who's coming into the world. Verse 28, and when she had said this, she went and she called her sister Mary, saying to her privately, here, there's people all around. I can see Martha. She gets real close to Mary to whisper in her ear, you know, the teacher's here calling for you. Verse 29, and Mary, when she heard it, she rose up quickly. She didn't say anything to anybody. And she went to him. She went to Jesus. And John continues, verse 30. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but still was at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw her rise up quickly and go out, they followed her because they supposed that she was going to Lazarus' tomb to weep there. Verse Verse 32, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. I think we read that stuff and we don't picture it. She fell at his feet. You know, like this. And she spoke. Presumably with her face at his feet. And what did she say? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 33, and when Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. This is not how it's supposed to be. Indeed, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. That's why there's death, because we rebel against God. It wasn't the original plan. He created us in his image and likeness that we might know fellowship with him everlastingly, and that paradise was lost. And so things like this happen. And Jesus didn't like it one bit. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And John continues, verse 34, and Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, and Jesus wept. Some of you may know that that is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And interestingly enough, the shortest verse in the Bible is about how much God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is moved by our suffering. By your suffering, by my suffering, by Mary and Martha's suffering. And in particular, our suffering as it relates to the loss of a loved one to death. And so John says, Jesus wept. In fact, some of you have lost a loved one only very recently. And Jesus weeps. And some of you lost a loved one last year, and Jesus weeps. And some of you have lost loved ones a few years back, and you still have tokens of them in your house, and every time you pass them, you think about them, and sometimes if you think about them a lot, you weep, and Jesus weeps with you. And so verse 35, Jesus wept. And verse 36, and so the Jews said, see how he loved him. Must have just made a mess of his face, so. Verse 37, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also help keep this man from dying? Verse 38, Jesus, deeply moved again, he came to the tomb. It was a cave, John says, and a stone lay against it. Verse 39, and Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, always, you know, forever practical. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor. For he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to Martha, verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Verse 41, and so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. Look at him there. He looked up, he lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me, and you have heard me. You know, this begs a question. So what did the Father hear Jesus say? Perhaps it was Jesus saying, Father, give him life. Not because Jesus couldn't have given him life. Jesus is the resurrection and is the life. But because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit always do all things together. And so we read, and so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you always hear me, but I said it on account of these people standing here that they might believe that you sent me. And John continues, verse 43, and when Jesus had said this, he cried out with a loud voice. Don't just lay in there. Lazarus, come out. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, come alive. Indeed, presumably, in answer to Jesus' prayer, the Father has made Lazarus alive. And so Jesus says to the resurrected, the living Lazarus, come out. And this is seemingly, if you're reading the Gospel of John, is in keeping with the overall redemptive message of the Gospel of John. And that is that God makes us alive. He causes us to be born again. And then he gives us a directive. And then we obey him because he's given us spiritual life. And we can obey. And so we read, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips. He's like a mummy. He came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips in his face, wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Verse 45, and many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. It was Woody Allen who said famously, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. But what if Jesus is there with us when it happens? And what if what Jesus said to Martha is true? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And what Jesus did for Lazarus is evidence that what Jesus said to Martha is true. And so may God grant us the grace we need just to trust in him. Amen. Amen. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Let us pray. We sing it sometimes, in Christ alone. No fear in life, no fear in death. And if that's what we're experiencing and if that's what we feel, there's reason for that. That comes from a mind and a heart that has been totally captured by the truth of the gospel. And some of us have stood at the side of the deathbed of loved ones and whose faith in you, Lord, and in your Son was transformative, and they said, oh, I'm ready. Makes me think of the one woman and her pastor came to pray for her, and because she believed that God answered his prayers, she said, I don't want you to pray for me because I don't want you messing up what I got going. To live as Christ and to die as gain. And she knew that. And so, Lord, we thank you that you have done what you could to remove the sting of death and the fear of it by raising Lazarus and others and by rising yourself and saying even before you left physically, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and help us to remember these promises and to be transformed by them, that we might always know hope and joy unspeakable and full of glory, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.